93.3 FM, 106.7 WJFK. No restrictions, no barriers, no bull. Just free, free, free. Washington's free FM. Free, 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 free. 106.7 WJFK.
In Las Vegas, where we had how many people marching yesterday? 2,000? 10,000. 10,000 people walking down the strip, a mile-long mass of illegal humanity walking down the strip, and I knew nothing about it. Do you know anything about it? Did they get over by the Monte Carlo?
No.
No. So it was just from Fremont Street over. And how many? Like 400,000 in Chicago and New York, right?
Huge everywhere else, yeah.
Any effect on you whatsoever?
Yeah. I went to Zabas for dinner, and they were closed. Baja Fresh was open, though.
Okay, exactly. No, there was no effect on me whatsoever. Not even, you know, some people were saying the traffic was better. Uh-huh. I didn't think notice any difference whatsoever, you know. But I guess this was a huge thing. We're at 866-313-FREE, 3733. This is Free FM. PennRadio@gmail.com. PennRadio.com. That's Penn with two N's. I'm talking to Michael Godeau, and we're sitting here in Las Vegas. Really, I live in a compound. You know, I live in the Slammer, and the studio is right here in this huge compound that I live in. So I guess I didn't have much of it. I mean, but there is building going on. There is building going on. We're building another wing to the house, and it went fine yesterday. There was no work stoppage at all. You know, this
one, how far behind is your house? What do you mean there was no work stoppage?
My house is 1 year behind. It is 1 year behind what's supposed to be done. But yesterday, I believe, is the only day work was done. Maybe they were all distracted by the illegal
from their other jobs.
So that's what's going on. If you want to call in about this immigration thing, 866-313-FREE, 3733. We will take phone calls from y'all, or if you want to write to PennRadio@gmail.com, we might read your Gmail on the air. What's your thing about this? It affect? I mean, there must be people who are really had their day totally changed by this.
I believe there were a large number of people.
So if you called in, you know, let me know how it affected you, because it didn't affect me one bit. 866-313-FREE. And of course, you know, yesterday was Monday.
Right.
Tomorrow is Wednesday. So today is Monkey Tuesday. Music can mean only one thing. When we're done talking seriously about immigration, we'll get to serious monkey rights. There's actually important monkey stories, and we'll be covering those monkey stories on, of course, Monkey Tuesday. Good. But, you know, one of the things I wonder about with the immigration thing is I don't understand how you can have illegal. I mean, I stated my position yesterday. I'll state it again briefly. I believe that everybody, that our borders should be completely porous to all, you should just be able to come in, register, boom, and that we should have many fewer social services. We shouldn't have this country club with a redistribution of wealth and have all these services that people can exploit. Illegal immigrants can exploit those services, so can native-born Americans. There's no difference. They're just people. The DNA is the same. So, you know, the genome is the same. Not the DNA, of course. The genome is the same. So we have to bring, you know, if you don't want people exploiting social services, you get rid of them and have it taken care of by charity. I want all the foreigners to be able to come in. That's my position. But at this point, they are illegal aliens, illegal immigrants. They are not here legally. So if they all get together and demonstrate, why aren't they all busted? You know, I went to see the Up and Smoke tour of Eminem and Snoop Dogg. It was a while ago. I went to see them, and I believe in this entire stadium filled with 12, 13-year-olds, it was, you know, the Thomas and Mac.
Yeah.
It was a big concert. You know, what is that, 20,000 people?
It's big.
It was packed. It was absolutely packed. And it was just maggoty with police.
You and Provenza went. Yeah.
There were cops all over the place. Me and Provenza went, the director of the Aristocrats. We went there, and I believe there were two people of the 20,000 in the building that were not high, and that was me and Provenza. End of list. I believe the cops were a little high. And on the web, they had shots of how many drugs they had backstage. You go to the Up and Smoke thing, and they would show you, you know, piles of this hybrid marijuana stuff. And nobody arrested. No busts. It seems like when you say all marijuana users and drug users come here and they all get together, why don't you just go through and bust them? And that drives me nuts. I mean, it's a selective enforcement. Now, I am all for selective enforcement of laws when it involves me not getting a speeding ticket. But I think that's where the line in the sand is drawn. When I get pulled over by a cop for going too fast, and he says, "Hey, Penn, how you doing?" And I say, "Doing very fine. Carry on, officer." And he goes, "Fine," and I drive away. That selective enforcement, I think, is really groovy and cool and what America is built on. I also think that judges need to have leeway, and so do cops. But when you're going to do something illegal, why didn't they have legal people marching on behalf of the illegal, which they did? There were a lot mixed up in there. I know that. But why didn't the illegal? I mean, I understand if you're trying to
control. They should have hired legal immigrants to march for them.
Yes. Yeah. Or, you know, people that are sympathetic. Like maybe we should have been marching.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we should have been out there, but we weren't. You know, it was the culinary workers of Vegas that were organizing this. Do you have any calls we want to talk about this?
We have a lot of calls.
Okay. Why don't you pick one and take it?
Well, why don't we go with Sean on line one, since he seems to agree with your first point. Hey, Sean, are you there?
What's up, Sean?
What's up, man?
How you doing?
Yeah, I was just thinking that it would have been pretty funny if that was just government's act to corral all the illegal immigrants up, have them fighting for their rights, and they just all ship them right out of the country to make it nice and
I know,
for us.
I know, I tell you, having lived 51 years, I would have been very nervous about that, you know? I mean, maybe they could do that with, you know, with all internet spammers gather together to you know, gather together to protest the use of internet spam. They all show up, and then you just, you know, take a machine gun and it's done.
I know. I did. They actually believe that they have a right to be here illegal. I don't understand how they actually believe that they have they can fight about being here illegal. It makes no sense to me.
Yeah, well, I know exactly. I mean, I tend to be. I'm in favor of any immigrants coming here. But once you have the word illegal, I don't know how that gets tied in with the right. I guess it is the right to be legal. But I think that I understand exactly what you're saying. I believe I disagree with the final result. But the idea that it is illegal, I don't know how you then fight for a right. But you're right. It was a very kind of paranoid fantasy that this whole thing could be organized, just get a good list. Because aren't there people whose job it is? I mean, there's immigration. If you watch,
sure.
If you watch Law and Order, they get a lot of their information by threatening the busting of illegal aliens. So there must be somebody.
You're definitely right, man. I just wanted to call you up and say you guys are the best. You guys are doing a great job.
Thanks so much. What happened with that caller was that rarely happens. See, how crazy do you have to be that the caller goes, "I'm starting to get it over my head. I better hang up now." You know, usually in talk shows, someone calls up and the host kind of goes, this is a little wacky. Let's hang up. But I start crossing over to Law and Order and Green Cards, and he goes, "Love your show. Better hang up
now."
Thanks a lot.
Offline.
Nice talking.
Thank you.
I'll listen on the radio. I'm too exposed. Let's take another call here.
Okay. Why don't we go to line nine? Let's talk to Randy.
Hey, Randy. How you doing, man?
How you doing? Listen, yesterday I definitely learned a lot about immigration, and as long as that's all they were trying to do, you know, let's all get back to our lives.
What does that mean?
About getting all these people together and the Up and Smoke tour, and, you know, it's not really illegal. I mean, when you bust somebody, a cop pulls somebody over and they've been doing something wrong, and now you find some kind of drugs on them, that's one.
Somehow we've lost him.
Yeah.
Lost him in the middle of the call.
It sounded a little bit like a cell phone. So maybe
could have been.
This could have been, maybe this is a very momentous call for us. It may have been the first call drop that was not our fault. You know, most of the time it is definitely CBS Free FM's fault when calls are dropped. But I think this time it may have actually been, you know, going into a tunnel or something.
You know why they can't arrest everyone? There are not enough buses in the world.
I know there are not enough buses.
12 million.
That's the whole
illegal
problem.
Aliens in the U.S. And we start.
There weren't 12 million protesting. All we needed was a million bus seats.
They're not.
Some people could stand
not
up.
Bus drivers left over that are legal once you arrest that 1 million.
Very good point. 866-313-3733. You want to take another call?
We can do that if you like. Let's talk to Drew on line two.
Hey, man.
That rhymes.
Hey, what are you
how you doing, man?
How you doing, Penn? You make a good comment about busting everyone at the Up in Smoke tour. I wanted to reference the film Sea of Love from years ago. Opening scene, they had a fake event. You know, Al Pacino and the cops were all undercover, invited a ton of people down that were all wanted for something or another, had the event, boom, nailed them all, brought them all in.
Wow, what's amazing about that is not that that scene happened in a movie, but that you remember Sea of Love. There's one thing I remember from Al Pacino's Sea of Love, and that is he had a body double for his ass. Isn't that true?
It was Ellen Barkin playing his body double.
But what do they rally? How do they get criminals to rally together?
I can't remember what.
Good. I'm so relieved. I thought you had some real serious problem. That was just a psychological test. If you remembered the minor plot points of Sea of Love, I was going to hang up on your ass right away. Now I know I have a man who is at least within the scope of sanity. You remember a little bit from a movie. How long ago was that? Like 15 years?
Yeah, it was a long 20 time.
Years? What do you think about Cruising with Al Pacino? That came out. but a good point. You know, they could do that. It's the thing that Albert Brooks talked about. You just have concerts.
They have done that. You see a news story about that every now and then where they've invited a bunch of people who they have warrants for. Say, so, you know, you must bring ID. Come on down. You've won a color TV.
Oh, really? They do? Yeah. And, of course, Dateline is doing that with child molesters. What they do is they
come
they
on
go.
Down. You've won a child. I don't understand.
Come on down. Come on. No, I mean they've been doing that. You know, FBI guys posing as. I guess they could do that thing. You just do a little thing going free kiddie porn downtown march. And that's exactly the point, right? I mean, that's illegal. If you had people marching, that would be different because you don't necessarily have to be. You could march for the legalization of marijuana without having marijuana on you, and they've done that. But you cannot march for the legalization of illegal immigrants if you are an illegal immigrant, because if marijuana, a person who is a pothead is only guilty of possession of marijuana when they have marijuana on them. But an illegal alien is guilty of being an illegal alien all the time. So you can't have a march. You could have a march for people who are pro-child molesting or pro-marijuana or pro-mob activity or pro-anything if they're not doing it right then. But I don't understand. This is a very specific situation where, you know, the immigrants are illegal all the time. You know the call you want to take?
Yeah, except that our tech guy, Rudy, remembers Sea of Love. And he points out that they had invited the criminals to have breakfast with the Yankees, with the baseball team.
Oh, that's what?
That was the ruse, yes.
Breakfast with the Yankees. But they wasn't. See, they had to know who they were to bring them in, right? See, the great thing about this, the genius of this, if this were a government plan, and I guess the fact that it's genius and government plan together means it wasn't, but if it were a government plan, the great idea about it is you let people, you don't know who the illegal aliens are. You don't know their names, addresses, and that kind of stuff. You know nothing about them. So then the rally, they come up there and also give you the information on who they are at the same time. It's not the same as a mob guy bringing his ID to meet the Yankees. So Rudy, the one who sometimes drops calls on us, he's just sitting there watching reruns of Sea of Love over and over again. Oh, I can see. I can see Pacino's ass. I can see Pacino. Now, after I've said that, let's see how many calls stay on now. None whatsoever. Now that I've blamed Rudy, I don't think it's Rudy's fault at all.
I don't think it's Rudy's fault.
I just went that way to try to tie together. Rudy, I'm very, very sorry. I'm very, very sorry, Rudy. Rudy, I'm very sorry. Are we even going out on the air anymore?
No, we're not.
See, that's the thing you never, ever do, is you never, ever make any comment whatsoever about the guy who actually has power. There's one person right now, one person in the country that has power over CBS FM, I mean the free FM. One person. It's not Joel. It's not any of those people. It's not me. It's not you. It is Rudy. Because he can just go, okay, we don't broadcast anymore.
I don't know. It broke.
Sorry. I don't know what it is. Damn old equipment, you know? Stern left it all screwed up when he left. That's the problem. Nothing's working. David Lee Roth. Is it on there?
Yeah, we're still on.
We're still on
the air? I think.
If we're on the air, let's take a call. Prove it.
Let's talk to Brent on line four.
What? Brent, line four. We still on the air?
Yeah, right here.
Oh, good. Thank you, Brent.
I'm scared of Rudy, too. I have an article about a monkey in China that they got to quit smoking by feeding it fried bananas. As soon as I get my hands on a scanner, I'm sending it in.
Okay. You send it in because, you know, right after the next break, the next hunk will be Monkey Tuesday.
I love that.
So will you be able to scan it in the next 4 or 5 minutes?
But on a more interesting note, I do a lot of music festivals and whatnot, and it's interesting because there's always a police presence, but I've always been under the very distinct impression that they don't bust everyone for two major reasons. One, there's too many people and not enough police officers. Better just to, you know, keep things under control and police for violence and whatnot and major drug dealing. And two, I really believe that it's part of a municipal authority that makes a ton of money off of the sale of tickets and concessions and tax money off of a music festival, which is usually held in a relatively rural area and in a poor county. I think they make too much money off it to shut it down. I don't think they want that.
That's absolutely true. And I think the point is actually a bigger point, because the point is, if that many people are doing something illegal, why is it illegal? The most important part of a government is for the vast majority of the citizens to believe they are innocent of everything. We now live in a society where there are so many laws, and of course, the IRS is the major offender on this. It's not immigration, it's not drug enforcement. That everybody is afraid. If you right now were investigated on everything in your life, there's some stuff you're doing that's illegal. Whether it's the plumbing on your toilet, whether it's exactly what form you filled out for your income tax, or whether it's a small amount of marijuana, you have something that's illegal. And a government that keeps all its citizens worried that they might be able to be busted selectively is a government that has too much power. So if they don't start busting people because there are so many of them, and if there are so many of them, whatever they're doing should be legal. Am I saying that if everybody does it, it should be legal? That's absolutely what I'm saying. There are that many people that are doing it. There's something that's okay in our society. We should let it go. My voice is cracking with emotion. But I do want to say about your comments, it's certainly it's because of the money. And there was this great case, which I don't remember clearly. I don't remember as well as I remember Sea of Love. A great case in Vegas where there were some college students who were busted for marijuana right around the Up and Smoke tour. They were busted for marijuana, and they said it was selective enforcement because the cops were actually at the Up and Smoke tour and busted no one because they were at a rap concert and they were different races, but white kids in a dorm were busted quickly. It was exactly this argument made. But thanks a lot for calling, and I hope you send that monkey thing in, because we can need that in the next hunk.
Keep going, man. Get on it. There must be a Kinko's close to you.
866-313-3733. Let's take one more call.
You think we should? Okay. Yeah. Let's go to Bill on line 9.
Hey, Bill. How you doing, man?
Hey, Penn. Hey, Michael. Got a question for you, Penn, from a fellow wingnut out here.
Okay, good.
Let's see if I can understand this. We have a bunch of people committing a crime, knowingly committing a crime by being illegal aliens that are all marching for rights that, by my understanding, don't exist. But me, as an American citizen who, God forbid, owns a gun, has to go through a near practice copy in order to exercise my constitutional right. But there's nothing wrong here. Is there anything you could say to illuminate me as to what this dichotomy is and why it exists?
The only thing I can't understand is how you can ask that question without any obscenity. That's the only question I have. It seems like that exact speech you just gave, concise, powerful, and wonderful, should have been sprinkled with good old American obscenity. Thanks a lot. We're going to take a break. We'll be back right after this with Monkey Tuesday.
The Junkies.
Talking to Santana Moss.
Who's got the nicest house? You go in there, you go, oh my God.
Well, right now, Porter's man, he has one of those spots that, man, it's like the chocolate factory.
What do you mean? It's like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory?
Nah, it's like one of them factories that, man, you get you a couple of girls, they going in, and they clothes coming off at the door.
No. That's so not like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. I was way off.
Little surprises around every corner, but nothing dangerous.
The Junkies. Mornings on Free FM, 106.7 WJFK. Free FM 106.7 WJFK.
Woohoo! It is Monkey Tuesday!
That's what the song needed, was a lead vocalist.
It does need a lead vocalist. Guitar Zan and his jungle band. Need Ray Stevens in here to do that. For Monkey Tuesday, you know, we cover all the stories that have to do with monkeys. And, of course, by monkeys, we mean apes, because monkey is a funnier word. This is a great article from Spain. The Spanish Socialist Party. So already, you know, it's like, who cares? I don't care about socialists. I don't care about Spain. But anyway, it's got monkeys in it, so we have to read it on Monkey Tuesday.
He's new. No, don't be angry.
It's okay. We got one copy of Sea of Love here in my house. He ran out and got it. Now he's watching in the other room. The Spanish Socialist Party will introduce a bill in the Congress of Deputies. I guess that must be a real thing in Spain, calling for, quote, the immediate inclusion of simians in the category of persons, and that they be given the moral and legal protection that currently are only enjoyed by human beings. The PSOE's justification is that humans share 98.4% of our genes with chimpanzees, which are monkeys, and 97.7% with gorillas, which are monkeys, and 94.4% with orangutans, which are monkeys. The party will announce its Great Ape Project at a press conference tomorrow. An organization with the same name is seeking a UN declaration on simian rights, which would defend ape interests. Quote, the same as those of minors and the mentally handicapped of our species. Except minors and mentally handicapped are not as funny as monkeys. They are funny. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to go on the radio on Free FM and say that mentally handicapped people are not funny. I'm not going to say that minors are not funny, but not as funny as monkeys. According to the project, quote, today only members of the species Homo sapiens are considered part of the community of equals. The chimpanzee, the gorilla, and the orangutan are our species' closest relatives. You notice that? The Spanish, not one New World monkey in there. Do you notice that? Not one goddamn New World monkey. Just the Old World monkeys. What about us with the tails over here, okay? There's spider monkeys, right?
That's right.
What are the New World monkeys?
All of them with tails.
I know, but spider monkeys, what else has a tail? The capuchin, what is that called?
Yeah, capuchin, the white face, sure.
Sure, sure. What about them, Spain? Huh, Spain? What about them?
We're lousy with monkeys.
We're lousy. World. We're just maggoty with the monkeys in the New World. Spain, you know, I guess Spain figured when they came over here, they conquered everybody. No, you didn't. You left some monkeys still. They possess sufficient mental facilities. They possess sufficient mental faculties. I'm sorry. An emotional life to justify their inclusion in the community of equals. Now, just so you know, those numbers are pretty impressive. That number for chimpanzee, which is 98.4% of our genes. Just keep in mind that 60% of our genes are shared by fruit flies. And fruit flies have a social system. So that's it. For Monkey Tuesday, we know that the... I hate him! I hate him!
That's the end of Patrick.
Okay.
You know, with rights comes responsibilities.
Right. So the monkeys will have to have jobs.
Yes.
Right. And the monkeys will have to clean up after themselves. And the monkeys will
be on welfare.
The monkeys will be arrested. If a monkey goes around without pants, isn't he arrested for indecent exposure? I mean, if you're going to give the monkeys the rights, you also have to give them responsibilities. There's no doubt about it. There's a lot of things that are illegal that monkeys do, like not filing for taxes. But there are a few things that monkeys could do better, like they could take Patrick's job. Patrick in there, because a monkey could be trained easily for when they hear Monkey Tuesday to play. See? See that?
On the edge. He's back on the edge.
Just had to scare him a little bit. I don't like that. I don't like that you have to scare people into doing things. But that's the way Patrick works. He works on a strict reward punishment thing. We have to learn to reward him with a monkey Scooby snack when he does the right thing, and then punish him. Punish him.
Those little Three Musketeers bars. He's just tossing one every time he plays it.
I banged my hand. I was so angry about the Patrick not playing the music. I banged my hand really hard, and I remember this. I had my bracelet in the way, and I've now cut my wrist. So I have slit my wrist on the air. Now, you know, a lot of DJs do stuff like they'll get vasectomies on the air. So I've slit my wrist on the air. So that's the socialists. And now, I don't know anything about politics of Spain, and I don't mean to say that proudly. If there's a little pride creeping into my voice, it is 100% accidental that I don't know much about the social.
It's woozy because you're bleeding to death.
Direct pressure. But do the socialists, do the Spanish Socialist Party powerful? Why don't you do a search there and find out the span? I mean, are they like in power? I mean, could this actually happen? Could we have a place that gave monkeys power? And we also got a really cute letter. I guess it's not really that funny or even that interesting, but I'm so touched by it. I'm going to read this. This is from Kelly with an I. And this is, of course, written by Kelly with an I on email. So she didn't get a chance to dot the I at the end of Kelly with a little smiley face, which I'm sure she does. I'm sure whenever you have Kelly with the last, with the final. My doctor, you know my doctor? Her name is Tracy, T-R-A-C-I, and it always scares me because I always expect she's going to have a little smiley face and the dotted eye, but fortunately I can't read her handwriting. So Kelly Kelly says, my three-year-old hears me talk about Monkey Tuesday, and there you go, Patrick, that's the way it's done. And this morning, I asked her which of her stuffed animals was going to preschool with her for nap time, and she said, my monkey, because it's Monkey Tuesday! Yeah. My husband and I were in hysterics. Of course, now when I go pick her up this afternoon, I'm probably going to have to explain Monkey Tuesday to the teacher so she doesn't think we are some crazy family. Okay, at least no crazier than we really are. I have no real monkey story except that they totally freak me out just looking at them. So will my stuffed monkey story suffice for today? Yes, Kelly, your monkey story does suffice for Monkey Tuesday. Now we do have a monkey story from Chris Angel. Chris Angel wants to come on and tell us while he was shooting his mind freak, and we all know the word freak is really something else. Mind freak is not a word we
should arrest him.
We should arrest him. But it really stands for something else. They just yelled at me. The Happy Jack in the other room, hearing my headphones, you couldn't hear him. But he was so afraid I was going to say what Mind Freak stood for. I don't think I need to say that. I think everybody in the world knows what Mind Freak stands for. While shooting Mind Freak, Chris Angel has a monkey story that he wanted to call to tell us, but he's busy right now. So he'll call us. He'll call us on the time. But you had a phone call?
We do have a phone call on line three. This is Jim calling, and
hey, Jim.
He has a monkey story for us.
How you guys doing?
Doing very well, Jim. What do you got for Monkey Tuesday?
Okay. I was stationed in California, Camp Pendleton, back in the late 60s.
So this is a military monkey story.
Right. Well, this is we went to the San Diego Zoo, and we were at the San Diego Zoo, and these two monkeys start fighting. And everybody comes running over there.
Well, monkey fight! Monkey fight! Monkey fight! They're all yelling.
Exactly. Well, two other ones go up in the tree right above them.
Uh-huh.
And we're watching them fight. And when we're watching these two fight, let me just put it, they put something in their hands and threw it at the crowd.
Oh! So it was
a distraction.
It was the wily monkeys gathering a crowd to then toss feces at them. Is that right?
Right, and every week after that, I'd go there on the weekend, and I'd watch, and it would never be the there'd be two different ones fighting, and two different ones up top, throwing.
So they have positions that they choose. They have positions that they choose, like, you be the flinger, I'll be the gatherer.
Right.
So it's kind of a flinger-gatherer culture.
Exactly. It was awesome.
So you would And they were, that's great. So they were organized. Maybe the socialists in Spain are right. Maybe we should give them rights. Thank you so much. Thanks so much. I wonder if that's still going on. Someone that's at the San Diego Zoo must have some information on the monkeys there. So Chris Angel is going to call in probably next week to tell us this this story. But Chris Angel also wants to talk a lot about the David Blaine thing that's going on. Because David Blaine is in what he calls a human aquarium and what I call a swimming pool. And he is about to try to break a record that's already been broken by Teller and by Chris Angel. That's what he's working on right now. And Chris is going to come on the show sometime next week and chat about that a little bit. 866-313-FREE-3733. That's free FM. You can also write to penradio@gmail.com. Penradio.com. Do we have any more calls about monkeys? Only monkeys.
Well, sort of.
What do you sort of? It's either a monkey call or it isn't.
All right. We'll go with it's a monkey call. Let's talk to John on line four.
One more monkey call.
He dropped. Okay. Oh, no.
He dropped. He wasn't sure it was a monkey call. So that, I think, wraps it up for Monkey Tuesday. And we'll be back. We want to talk about the Bulls hit show about Ground Zero last night, the movie Flight 93. Anything you want to talk about after this. We didn't go back to immigration if you want. We're going to be taking a lot of phone calls the next hunk. This is Penn Jillette on Free FM. We'll be back right after this. Pendulette here, you know, sitting here with Michael Goodell. 866-313-3733. Penradio@gmail.com. Penradio.com. Last night on Showtime, our Penn and Teller's Bulls hit show aired. And last night we did it on Ground Zero. And yesterday, was it the Daily News? One of the New York papers.
Yeah.
Had a whole thing saying who asked for our opinion and so on about Ground Zero, and also said that we'd taped it beforehand, so we didn't say that the commission had really gotten it together and the doctor was now. I didn't even know, since I live outside of New York, I didn't know that the Ground Zero memorial was all finished. I didn't actually know it was all there. But apparently they have started, and it's as good as finished right now. I mean, they've done, I believe,
it's the second groundbreaking.
Right. And they've done nothing. But it'll be up.
Pataki went down there and moved some more dirt with a shovel.
And the reason why Pataki was down there working is because the immigrants were all not working. So that the only people who could build the Ground Zero more, the only person who was sure he was doing everything legal was Pataki. So he was down there moving some dirt around. Actually, that isn't even a valid joke, because I don't believe the groundbreaking was yesterday. But all the same,
worth a try.
And, you know, that's the tough thing. You know, on Bulls hit, we do shows like, you know, cryptozoology and shows like that, reflexology, even chiropractic are just pretty goofy. And then you do the really serious ones that have a lot of room for jokes, like circumcision, which is a very serious issue for parents. You know, we're going to have a baby boy in within the next few weeks, and we talked again with our doctor about the idea of circumcision, and he gave us a lot of the upsides and the downsides of it. We're still thinking about that. But then on our show, we also do really serious stuff like Ground Zero. And whenever you are a goofball by trade, and that's what Teller and I are, we're just goofballs. We do a Las Vegas magic show, and that does not give us very strong credentials. And when you try to tackle a thing from your heart like Ground Zero, and our whole point about the Ground Zero episode was that the families of the people who were killed in 9/11 are left out of the loop more than they should be, and that the memorial for Ground Zero is too slow and tied up in bureaucracy. And then we made a lot of jokes about the bureaucracy, and I thought we were pretty safe. But still, it's such an important topic that that people do get upset about it, and rightly so. I mean, I'm not saying they shouldn't. There's that Flight 93 movie that's out now that people are reacting to. I was told last night, sitting around with a bunch of friends, that friends of mine have been crying at the trailer. Now, I can't talk about crying in a movie because I cry at Bruce Willis movies. So the fact that I cry doesn't mean anything. But these are people that don't cry at Bruce Willis movies. These are people that actually have some fortitude as opposed to me. Not wimps is what I mean to say. And they were really moved by it. And I mean, Happy Jack was saying that he was going to go see the movie and that he's sure he'd be ripped to pieces by it. And the only thing he resented was them making money off it. And there's this whole idea of too soon going on. I might go see it, except that I'm pretty sick of movies lately. So if you've got an opinion on anything about either the minor point of us doing an episode about Ground Zero on Showtime last night, or on Flight 93, the movie, feel free to give a call, 866-313-3733. And while we're waiting for the calls to not be just monkey calls and immigration calls, I'm going to read you one Gmail we got on this. Hey, guys, just watched the episode on Ground Zero. I completely agree with you on rebuilding the Twin Towers and giving a big F you to those bastards that did this to our wonderful nation. Just want to know how or what we can do to get those a-holes at LMDC to do some serious work. Any petitions or letter-writing campaigns? I did not catch any of that in the program. Well, there is the Organization for Families of 9/11 that are doing a lot on this to get it more organized. Someone should be able to call in with that that number. Are you holding up something? The LMDC is the what does it stand for? That's the group that's putting up the Ground Zero Memorial that's headed by Pataki and everything. So we got any calls on this?
We have Adam calling on line one already.
Hey Adam, what's up, man?
How's it going, Ben?
Never better, boss. How are you?
It's good to finally talk to you. I love your show. It's my favorite show on all of television.
Oh, thanks so much, man.
And I watched it last night, and I was stunned. I was literally amazed at the way you put that. And when you went through your rebuildings, what you thought they should rebuild, I got a chuckle. Uh-huh. But when you finally came to the point, dude, you almost had me in tears. And I don't cry over television.
Okay.
it was beautiful. I have been waiting for someone to just say, F you, we're going to rebuild them.
Uh-huh. Well,
I mean, it's amazing how people are so afraid. And they're like, oh, it may happen again. It may happen again. Well, we're ready this time. Why not try again?
Yeah, you know, the idea that we would put up the Twin Towers again and it would happen again with all the American people know now is, I think, really absurd. That's really, really insane.
It's completely ludicrous that anybody would actually think that they'd try it again. We're watching we'd be watching like a hawk. It's not fathomable. They'd go for something else somewhere else. They tried once, they're going to fail. If they try again, they're
going to
fail. We should keep going.
And I really do. You know, we kind of did that as a symbolic gesture at the end, but even literally, even the logic of it, and I think morally, my position is probably to rebuild the Twin Towers. I think when you're in the right and someone attacks you, I think you have to keep going the same way you were going. And I understand the memorial is really important. I would love the memorial to be housed in something that was the original thing. We did nothing wrong. Those Twin Towers were a beautiful thing. And I would love to put them back up. Now, I guess, you know, once again, that's the nut point of view. I guess there are a lot of practical concerns. You want to make them safer. Also, you have to take into account the families that lost people in 9/11. And I also really, even though I'm an American, even though I was moved by it, because I did not have a close relative who died in 9/11, I feel at a certain point I need to shut up. You know, I'm not a New Yorker. I was a New Yorker for 10 years. I'm not a New Yorker now, and I did not lose anybody close to me in 9/11. So I don't really feel I have the authority to speak about it. But doing the research for that episode of the Showtime show last night, I was very angered by how few people are taking that point of view. I think the people who should be involved in this are the people who lost somebody and really really are suffering that way. And I think people like me should kind of shut up about it. That was the whole point of the show last night.
You are the man, and honestly, I think the whole idea of rebuilding them just said you didn't change our world. We went back to the way it was, and that's the way you put it, and I respect you so much more than I already did.
Thank you so much, man. Thank you.
Take care.
You know,
have a good day.
You know, after 9/11, Broadway was not doing well. And we wanted to help out because we had played Broadway an awful lot, even though we were then living in Vegas. And we were asked to do different things on Broadway. And the thing that Tell and I chose to do, people thought was a really goofy choice, but it actually was a very moral choice. I mean, it was a choice we did with the thought. We went in as the narrators of Rocky Horror. They do the Rocky Horror Show on Broadway. And we went in for a week as the narrators, which meant we wore fishnet stockings, and Teller and I, there's a fire-eating scene we do in the show that I do with the woman in a show, and Teller and I did it in drag, sitting on a couch doing the fire-eating together. And we chose that show, one, because it was easy. The narrator part you could just read, we could go into it quickly, and we couldn't take that much time off from our Vegas show, so we had to do it very quickly. I don't want to skirt over that. That's an important part of the decision. But the second part of the decision, I sat there every night, because as the narrator, you have to sit in the audience and watch the Rocky Horror Show going on. So you see this every night. I was so thrilled by the celebration of all kinds of sexuality. Here was a middle-class American audience sitting around with people in fishnets and bustiers and corsets and singing about science fiction movies and straight sex and gay sex and fetish sex being just completely and utterly celebrated. And every night it really touched my heart, because I thought, you know, those evil people who are so deeply deluded and hate our culture so much, this is what they hate. They hate the celebration of life, the celebration of diversity, and the celebration of sex. And every time, you know, the actor playing the part of, you know, what's it called?
Frankenfurter.
Frankenfurter would come down with the big lipstick and start singing, and everybody would sing along and cheer. I would just say, this is a complete anomaly to all the serious fundamentalist Muslims that want to destroy a lot of our way of life. And it was really a cool celebration for me, and meant a lot about the way of life. I think that's the way to fight the terrorism, is to keep our way of life going in all its diversity and of all its nuttiness and all the stuff that turns the stomach of the fundamentalists. Not that they have one stomach. That turns the stomachs of the fundamentalists. The collective stomach of the fundamentalists. I was not trying to claim, please, and I want to get a lot of calls saying, what do you mean the people of Islam share one stomach? Do we have any other calls here?
Sure do. We have Jennifer online, too. She saw United 93 over the weekend.
What'd you think, Jennifer? Jennifer?
Hello?
Hi. I gave you the wrong call, but whoever it is, hi.
I'm not Jennifer.
Okay, well, I'm sorry to call you Jennifer. I meant nothing by it. Well, what's up?
I saw the movie, and I thought the movie was excellent.
Really?
Excellent.
Are you sound like a New Yorker to me. Is that true?
I'm a New Yorker, yes.
Yeah.
I'm a New Yorker, yes, and I don't think it was too soon. I think it was perfect. Everything about it was good, and I really can't wait until the real big movie comes out and shows the whole correlation of the planes going into the towers and what happened on 93. The magnitude was unbelievable.
Uh-huh. Where were you on 9/11? Were you in New York?
I was in New York on 9/11. I was getting ready for work.
Uh-huh. And you liked the movie? Did you find it emotional? Did it rip you to pieces, or did you just kind of enjoy it?
It was emotional. It was emotional. I mean, there were people crying. There were people crying after the movie, you know, at the end. Mm-hmm. But I just took it as a reminder, if anything.
Now, Happy Jack is obsessed with this, and it does not bother me, because I'm a really hardcore capitalist. But Happy Jack is bothered by people making money off the movie of a tragedy. Did that bug you at all, or were you cool with that?
I'm cool with that. I'm cool with that. I mean, that's the world we live in anyway. I mean, they've made movies about every disaster.
I think that I agree absolutely, and I believe that making money off the movie and turning that into part of our culture is... Well, thanks a lot for calling.
Man, I love your show. It's great.
Oh, thanks so much. And I'm so sorry for calling you Jennifer, although it's a fine name, and maybe it fits you. I don't know. I mean, you know, if the name fits, wear it. One more quick call we got time for? You got anybody
sure,
you want?
Sure we do. We
I have, still have my heart set on Jennifer, but maybe...
I think Jennifer's gone. I'm sorry. I don't know where she could be. Let's go back to line one. This is Lee.
Hey, Lee, what's up?
Hi, how you doing?
Doing very well, thanks.
My comment and question was, the AME and the History Channel ran movies on Flight 93.
Huh?
They've constantly shown the towers going down several times, so how is that worse than a movie?
Yeah, I don't understand that at all. I think when you really come down to what they're talking about is this is a better way to market the movie as a big thing there. Yeah, I know we've seen that image a lot, the real image. I don't really understand that, but I think that when you're dealing with the grief, and especially the grief of a whole country, however it gets focused changes all the time, whether it be a song, whether it be a movie, whether it be whatever, and maybe this is the next phase of it. So thanks a lot for calling, Lee. Thank you all for calling in about everything. We'll be talking about other stuff tomorrow. Thank you for your kind words about Bulls. Hit, you know, we did that Ground Zero one And I was really worried about it because I really wanted to make sure that we showed the proper respect and that we didn't offend anybody doing it too soon, you know. But part of what I feel, no matter how important something is to me and how strongly I feel something, it always seems like I want to make a joke or two. Except for right now because I can't think of one. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
3FM 106.7.